Welcome to Ira's Everything Bagel, where I talk with intriguing people about everything, their passions, pursuits, and points of view. What would you think of a daily feed on X, formerly Twitter, that featured curated movie and television clips, comedy, photography, music, and beyond, and with the added bonus of quality commentary and insight? Well, my guest does just that. Actor Michael Warburton provides quality commentary and insight into movies, culture, and the arts. And you can follow Michael on X at The Monologist. And you can buy Michael a coffee at Ko-Fi at ko-fi.com/Michael Warburton. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Ira. Lovely to be here.
Thank you. I was intrigued, of course, by your tweets. And I got in touch with you and you graciously agreed to come on the show. You have a great background as an actor, and you're now doing this curated presentation of really arts and culture as a shorthand version of what you do. I think it's much more than that, but that's a shorthand version. First, a little bit about your career for our listeners and viewers that may not know a lot about Michael Warburton. Tell us a little bit about your background, especially on stage.
Well, my first professional job was game at the age of 11 in the West End.
So just 10 years ago then, right?
That's right. Thank you so much. I wish. And that was followed by a couple of plays at the National Theatre. I eventually went to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, pretty good drama school. Daniel Day-Lewis, Tony Hopkins, Gene Wilder, all sorts of people went there. And I've done an awful lot of theatre and some film and some TV. And still on the hunt, still looking to improve and grow as an artist there.
Well, you have to, as an artist, you always have to grow and create and just, you look at the world differently as an artist, whether you're an actor, writer, if you're a creative, you always tend to look at the world differently. You always want to do better. And then, I think we all do. I think some people are, I think some people that make widgets they enjoy making widgets and that's it. That's all they want to do. They're craftsmen in their own right. Or I guess craftsperson these days, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. So, but now you started this, what I would call a feed, but it's basically postings on X, formerly Twitter, where you have some great content. And that's why I had contacted you, because I was impressed by the quality choices that you make and also the commentary, and wanted to know why you started this. And this is not easy, because you'll share with our audience how you do this. Because I was, in my mind, having seen so many of your posts, I was under the impression that you had a very sophisticated software setup with a lot of equipment in a production studio with assistants and staff and all of that. But it's actually Michael Warburton himself that does it. And you'll be amazed at how he does it in a second. But why did you decide to start? That's a long introduction to my question, which is, why did you decide to start these postings?
That's okay. Well, I started fairly shortly after when we went into lockdown. So, 4 years, however many months ago. Basically, I was sat there and we're all locked up. We're all in it together. And I thought to myself, okay, well, what can I do that's in some way positive? How can I fill my time positively? And I thought, okay, I think I know a little bit about film. Far from everything, but what I know, I know. I know I've got very eclectic tastes. So I started posting film clips, clips of TV shows, and a few of my other interests, stand-up comedy, photography, chat shows, that sort of stuff. And I soon got quite a good response. People were enjoying that. They're there at home, as I said, we're all locked up. And so initially, it was absolutely an act of fellowship and altruism, and if you like, collectivism, communality. But after about a year or so, something like that, with my industry shut down, certainly theatre, very few films and TV being made, the odd one here and there, but not much. We were all at home. I was down to my last few pennies on my overdraft, and kind of had to swallow my pride, and I did. And I'd heard of this thing called buymeacoffee.com, which struck me as a kind of a nice, genteel, not terribly invasive way of saying, hey, need a bit of help if you can. And so I swallowed my pride, put up a couple of tweets containing where you could buy me a coffee if you felt so inclined, and the response was incredible, and it was incredible financially, and quite literally saved me. It was getting to the stage of beyond financial penury, really. It was getting to the stage of almost being homeless. It was that bad. But also the approbation, the appreciation of people for what I've been doing the past 14 months, 7 days a week, was also hugely rewarding. So that's where it started. And to answer your second point, there's no big technical setup here at all. I do absolutely everything on my phone, which is not terribly good for my eyes because I work many hours every day, 7 days a week, rain or shine, my birthday, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, whatever your holiday, Thanksgiving, I'm there. You know, it's only literally when I've been in the hospital a few times over the past 4.5 years, whatever it is, that I've had to take maybe 4 or 5, maybe 6 days off in the past 4.5 years, but that's it.
That's an amazing story. And what I appreciate is your honesty in terms of how you ended up continuing to do that and getting the coffee bought for you, which again is ko-fi.com/Michael Warburton, Warburton. And not everybody that's an actor or in the creative world is necessarily going to give an honest answer to a question as to how one of the reasons why you continue with it and grew it as well. So I appreciate that. And when you started to get the response, was there, besides the financial aspect of it, was there a validation for you that your instincts were correct in terms of your choice of material to post?
Yeah, the replies that I was getting on Twitter, and then the replies I was getting and messages when people donated were tremendous. But I also knew fairly early on, I had some very famous people whose names I won't mention. I'm not one of those actors who drops names, but they were world famous names from the world of sport and obviously film, entertainment, media, you name it. And they started doing something that I think a lot of people ended up doing during lockdown, which was all agreeing to watch a film or whatever at a certain point, and then afterwards jumping onto Zoom to have like a group discussion. Again, it was a lovely way of connecting people, wasn't it? When we were all so disparate and separate. I'd have some of these incredibly famous people, and the film side was really extraordinary to me because it was like, these are, again, I'm very tempted to, but I won't. There were some very, very, very big Hollywood A-listers who followed me, liked my stuff, and then DM'd me on Twitter as was, asking for my sort of top 10 or top 20 films. And I was like, goodness me, you know, you're a star, you're a filmmaker, you're an incredible talent. I'm sure you have far better knowledge of film than I do. But they asked, so I did. I don't like really giving top 10s or top 20s because I don't like the reductive nature of, same with award ceremonies, I don't like the reductive nature of art being reduced to a silly competition. And art, anyway, is all opinion, nothing more. But anyway, they contacted me, lots of these very well-known people, and I would send them, you know, my lists. So I knew there was a level of engagement that was quite high, quite intense, and also, I guess, something that still goes on to this day, quite trusting of me and trusting of my taste and trusting of the fact that they also knew, and I make this much harder for myself by sort of not doing this on Twitter, they know that I wasn't pandering. They all knew that I wasn't just sticking up whatever I thought you wanted to get more followers and that whole sort of ridiculous competitive side of Twitter. That wasn't what I was about. It was about authentically sharing with people what I happen to like. And I know my tastes are very, very eclectic. And if you don't like them, you don't like them. But I knew they were eclectic enough that enough people might. I didn't realize that it would get to the stage where I'd have over sort of, you know, well over 200,000 followers. That was on my old account, which I lost and had to start afresh about 5-6 months ago, because that's the nature of a post Jack Dorsey Twitter with Elon Musk. And let's leave the politics there.
And again, the post is at the Monologist, and it's an interesting title, which I'll ask you about in a second, but I wanted to go back to something more important, which is that you were surprised to hear from some of these quote unquote A-list people and others that were asking you for your opinion on top 10, et cetera, et cetera. I think I figured out why you're getting the response you're getting, because I'll use myself as an example, and that might help. And it may be something that you hadn't thought about before. But I think what it is in this day and age, to use a wonderfully cliche phrase, in this day and age, where there's so much shallowness, that there's a consistent quality of your postings. And it reflects your, again, yes, you're right, you have eclectic tastes, some of which I may not agree with and some of which I may, but it doesn't matter. The point is you establish a trust with the reader, the viewer, because you have a certain level of quality and commitment that comes through. And I think that's why you get the response that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. That's very kind of you. If that is the case, and I hope it is, that's really gratifying, because the work I put into curating this account is huge. And, you know, it's not, you know, give me a medal and a chest to pin it on. There's no, you know, not being silly. Let's keep it in perspective. But I work unbelievably hard every day, rain or shine, ill, not feeling well, whatever. I put the work into creatively, authentically, imaginatively curating a feed that truly reflects, as I say, everything I like. So I could talk for an hour about how I go about that, because there's so many different methods, and some of them are kind of incredibly insane and utterly random. Others are very, very thought through.
Right.
But what I try to do is again reflect myself and my oddness, maybe, where I'll put, I don't know, a movie up from, say, one of the great decades in Hollywood, the 1930s, and then I'll go, right, okay, let's counter that, and not just the period, but also the genre that it's in. Let's counter that with something from, say, the 1980s or the 2010s. What I normally try to do is I'll put up a video clip, and again, I'll hunt down the best quality. I really hate and will not put up fuzzy, technically poor clips of anything. So again, that's part of the huge research process. Once I think of content for one tweet, I've got to go and find that, and preferably HD quality, download that to my phone, edit it, yada yada. But then, as I say, I'll put a clip. I will go again hunting and take the time to hunt the best quality original poster, be it a modern one, 1930s, 1920s, whatever. Then I'll go and find either a behind-the-scenes still photo, or a really, again, high-quality, or a high-quality publicity still photo. And if I can, then I'll also add on an interview, an AFI interview, or an interview, you know, with someone involved in the film, director, actor, writer, whatever, and try and form a little mini thread for each individual tweet, if you like, which is a lot of hard work, but hopefully, at the very least, what you get to see is a high quality clip, high quality poster, original poster, high quality still photo, and an interview with someone giving you some background and insight into the film themselves.
Do you think at some point a lot of these clips that you post with the commentary could become an analog book? Or put into an analog book?
What I do? I think it could certainly become a podcast, and that is absolutely the plan. That's absolutely a plan for 2025. A few things to sort out before that, but I think a podcast version of what I do on Twitter, and that would simply be, it would be about half an hour every week, and it would be 2 10-to-15-minute looks at a scene from a movie. So we do that twice in the podcast, but it wouldn't be a detailed navel gazing look at the scene. It would be a look at, I'd go off on various tangents and chuck in whatever the hell I know about that actor, director, screenwriter, on set gossip, off set gossip, whatever, but keeping it to the, using the scene as the conduit, as the prism, do a couple of those. And then a little sort of 5-minute look at maybe a documentary or something, that's, or a film that's coming out this week or soon, that's contemporaneous. I want to do that. I think there's also a market for that. I also have a Substack column, which I'm going to be starting again soon, which I did for about 18 months, but had to stop due to ill health, where I take a look at favorite people that I like from the movie industry. And we just have a quick look at their life, their career. Again, popping up great photos, great clips, great links to YouTube where you can go see their stuff straight away. So I'm going to be starting that again soon. But I think one thing I did want to share with you, Ira, was that although there was the altruistic reason I've explained for doing it in the first place in terms of the lockdown, and then there was the financial desperation, if you like. Of course, one of the key things, and this may even be the biggest driver, really, although the financial situation is still as it is, unfortunately, the biggest driver, I like to think, is the legacy element and keeping the legacy of these, you know, these incredible artists, some of whom are still with us, just some of whom are long departed, keeping their work alive, because their work, in my opinion, deserves to be kept alive, deserves to be trumpeted. But also, as well as keeping it alive for people of my generation or people that are older, to remind them, to maybe go and watch this movie or this this chat show or documentary again, or watch it for the first time because they missed it. They didn't catch it first time round. It's also for younger people. It's every demographic, but also for younger people, to tell them about stuff they may know nothing about, but which might be worth their time having a look at, that might be worth investigating. No guarantee with art, with regard to anyone's opinion, but it might be worth checking out. And I'd also, what I'd really love to think is that there might be the odd chap or chapess in Hollywood or wherever the hell films are made now, because not a lot's going on there at the moment, that you know, future artists, future creatives might be influenced by, you know, coming across my stuff, you know, not even by following me, but it comes up on the feed. You know, again, I've got some very famous people who follow me and who love my stuff, bless them, and who forward it. And maybe there'll be someone will be following them and they'll come across a clip of whatever, you know, The Night of the Hunter, Citizen Kane, Modern Times, whatever. Yeah. And they'll go, wow, okay, what's that all about? I kind of recognize that guy. All right, I might give that a whirl. And that feeding into their creativity. So legacy, Ira, is a really big deal for me. You know, it's arguable, again, as ever with art, that's its challenge, that's its joy, but it's sure. Arguable that we've had the best of film. It's arguable, not saying it is, but, you know, it's kind of difficult to imagine another half century from 1950 to 2000, let's keep it to film for a second, that's going to be better than 1950 to 2000. You know, obviously there's the dawn of film up until 1950 with decades like the 1930s, but really from 1950 to 2000, some would argue 1960 to 2000, whatever, pretty incredible things were being achieved, made and created. I think culturally for a lot of people nowadays, period. So that goes for music, everything. And I put up the odd song as well, by the way, to reflect music that I like. I used to be a pro session drummer, huge interest in music, again, very eclectic taste. But what I like to do is reflect what I think is going on, which is that more and more people, with the advent of streamers and the evolution and revolution that's going on at the moment, some of which is okay, most of which, my opinion, is absolutely tragic and awful, more and more people are looking back. And more and more younger people are looking back. They're not having their appetite satisfied, either enough or at all. And they're starting to look back more and more. And so they should. And again, so if I can be part of any kind of conduit that helps in any tiny, tiny way to direct young kids, young adults back, give them some idea of where they might go to find something really great, that for me is a huge payoff, Ira, huge.
And what you just said about looking back, that goes to what I said earlier about why I think people get attracted to your feed, and that is because of the quality, which is missing in a lot of things today. And so it's not just nostalgia. It's really not that. It's looking back at quality entertainment in film, television, etc. And I could see, as an example, there are many colleges out there and universities around the world that teach film studies. And your feed could be a resource for students to go and check out some of these movies and or clips, at least, from these classic films and television shows and other kinds of art that would stimulate that thought. So I think your head is in the right place. That legacy aspect is important. And even to the point where, go ahead.
So obviously, you and I both know there's other organizations, terribly important ones that that do it obviously far, far better in a far more detailed and academic way. I'm no academic. I never said I was or you know, I never will be. Like, you know, the AFI and in various other places, the BFI for us here in the UK, et cetera, et cetera. There's many around the world. But if I could be some kind of addendum, some kind of guy on the periphery that if you want a more personal take, and art is, you know, as I said, again, it's all opinion, nothing more, no right or wrong, no E equals MC squared. There's only opinion. I keep telling people that. I keep telling people that on Twitter or X, whatever it is now, you know, I just say, hey, you know, it's my opinion. It's your opinion. There is no right or wrong. It is the joy and the challenge.
Right.
But if there's anything I can add of a personal nature in terms of, right, here's a guy, seriously eclectic. He won't pander to me. This is, again, is a big thing. You know, I could have had millions of followers by now if I pandered, either by literally putting up, you know, cute videos of pandas or pandered, P-A-N-D-E-R-E-D. Mm-hmm. But if you want, you know, one guy in the UK, his eclectic taste, been in the business since 11, no academic, doesn't pretend to be, but genuinely has eclectic tastes. Come and have a look. Come and have a listen. You like the cut of my jib? Great. You don't. But that would be wonderful, Ira. That would be absolutely wonderful if I became any kind of peripheral resource for anyone.
And again, it's at the Monologist on X, formerly Twitter. Tell us how you came up with, I like the name, and I'm amazed that you're able to get it because nobody else evidently thought about using it. But why did you pick the Monologist?
Oh, it's a kind of thespian actor thing, I guess, in the sense that in plays, modern and extremely old, by the way. Harold Pinter's birthday today, one of the greatest playwrights there's ever been. And again, you know, if someone comes up whose birthday or who passed away on this day comes up, like Harold Pinter, you'll get a slew of my favorite clips and interviews, etc., with that person. And I did 8 or 9 today tweets on Harold Pinter. I did about 15 on Orson Welles because he passed away a number of years ago today. You know, in Pinter's plays, in Shakespeare's plays, in many plays, there's very often a monologue. And in, you know, in some ways, when you're on Twitter and you're putting out content, it is a kind of monologue. I try and interact and reply with as many people as possible. But I get a huge number of people, like way out of proportion to the number of people that follow me, a huge number reply and want to interact with me. And I would love to get back to all of them. I simply don't have the time at all, but I try now and again. But for the most part, it is a monologue. What I'm doing is putting out content as a monologue. So as an actor, having done many a monologue in many a play, and at many an audition, and bearing in mind the context of Twitter, I thought monologue. And then I had to go, you know, I'm not a particularly educated person. I had to go to Google and write, okay, synonyms, monologue. Okay, the monologist. Oh, I like that. That's how I got it.
That's great. Surprising that nobody else thought of that. And you only had it a couple of years, so it's surprising that nobody grabbed it before. So you're in that sense, you're great that you got it. One thing you mentioned just a moment ago, which stuck in my brain, and it's true, I hadn't thought about that, is you're not just posting one item a day. You could be posting 5, because I've noticed whenever all of a sudden there's a bunch of Michael Warburton posts on X because I follow you, and it's like, wait a minute, he just did one. Now there's another one, here's another one, and here's another one. So it could be 5, 10, 15 all of a sudden in one day about a particular film or actor or scene or photograph or piece of music. So yeah, that does take a lot of work. And are your eyes going to hold out?
It's all done on the phone. You know, I wish if I could afford all the sort of, you know, big screens and editing stuff, then I would. But my eyes do hurt quite badly some days, I have to say. And I have to kind of force myself to stop, because not only, I'm very wary of talking like this, because I am genuinely, you know, I think humility is one of the greatest traits that our species possesses. So I can't stand people who just big themselves up all the time, which as an actor, you would have thought I would do. But, okay, I'll say it. I think the quality of my feed is pretty good. And I know no one else on Twitter is doing it, because, again, at the risk of sounding an arrogant, there's only one Michael Warburton. There's only one person that's led my life, lived my life, been in the business as many years as I have and has all the tastes and have done all the things that I have. You know, we're all completely individual. So there's any one of me, but along with what I hope is a really skillfully and artfully and authentically curated feed on Twitter, there's the volume. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is because I think in order to give people the feeling that this guy on Twitter, when everything is, you know, free, you know, is worth a coffee, I think you've got to earn that. So the volume that I put out, in addition to the quality, but the volume that I put out is I've come across people who've trolled me. I had a real problem with trolls about 8-9 months ago, born out of this will sound silly, but it's actually true. I found out what was behind it all, and it was simple jealousy. This person was just furious that I had more followers, that I managed to monetize my account, yada yada. I mean, it's quite pathetic, really. But anyway, I got trolled. But even the trolls, and I don't have that problem now because he was taken off Twitter, X, whatever it's called. But even the trolls were saying to each other, "How the hell does this guy stick out so much every day?" And this is where if I told you, and if I told your viewers, and if people on Twitter knew quite how hard I work every day, again, not asking for a medal or a chest to pin it on, just pure facts, unemotional. If you knew how hard I worked every day, you'd go, "Dear God, that's, you know," you'd actually probably turn around and say it's quite unhealthy and you really should, you've got to find some other way of making some money, Michael, because that's crazy. But the other reason I do it, apart from sheer amount of volume to generate people to be kind enough to want to donate a coffee because they feel they're getting a real service from me. The other reason is, apart from, as I say, having people donate or feel inclined to donate and buy me a coffee, is that I just want to provide a really good service anyway. It's important for me that this work, this legacy goes out and reaches as many people as possible, to keep these names that some people may have forgotten, never even heard of at all, to keep their work alive. It's a bit like why I became an actor in the first place. There's no one in show business or acting in my family at all. Quite the opposite. Quite how it became a vocation and a need and a calling for me, which it is and has been, you know, boy and man, from the age of 11 to the age of, you know, 57. How and why that happened, I don't know. And how and why it's so important to me to keep the legacy of these great artists alive, obviously is related to what I've just said. But again, why it's so important to me, I don't know. But it is. It's really deeply important to me. I think, you know, legacy is a many-armed creature, and it can be you leave behind kids. They're your legacy, you know, to take the world forward. You can leave behind art, work, a building. And I touch on architecture. You know, I come across a building. I put up a video of an amazing house. I don't think not far from you, actually. That's rather beautiful the other day. Architecture and architects also, you know, interest me. So I put up, you know, photographs of Dave Brubeck's house, you know, from the yada yada. I could go on. Yeah. So, yeah, I think those are two reasons, Ira.
Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been actor Michael Warburton, who provides quality commentary and insight into movies, culture, and the arts. And you can follow Michael on X, formerly Twitter, at The Monologist. And you can buy Michael a coffee at Ko-Fi. That's K-O-F-I, coffee, or coffee, ko-fi.com/Michael Warburton. And that's B-U-R-T-O-N. Michael, thanks for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure, Ira. Absolute pleasure.
Thank you. And join us every Thursday for a new schmear on Ira's Everything Bagel.